B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Mem Gimel. We're going to start 16 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. Omar Ula, Kola Parasha Kula. All or many of the psukim in this parasha, at the beginning of Parashas Chukas, is the parasha called Parashas Pora, where all the halachas of Pora Aduma are listed. Then we're now Ula's going to give a statement regarding this whole parasha. Mashma Moitzi Miyad, Mashma, Umashma Mameila. And these words sound a bit cryptic. What they mean is as follows. We're going to mention in many times in these psukim, the Torah mentions who does the different stages of the Avodah. It's not really Avodah, but the different stages of the procedure of preparing the Pora Aduma. Who does it? Very often it mentions Elozor, it mentions the Kohen, it mentions Ish, and a number of other terms that are used. And very often, in a single sequence, one doesn't have to keep mentioning who's doing it unless you're trying to teach us that somebody else is now taking over. If the same person is continuing to do what he started doing, then you wouldn't have to keep saying that he's doing it. So there's some psukim, which we're going to see, there are some psukim which are mashma, it's apparent from them, that moitzi miyad, which means that they are telling us that the person doing it is different, is exclusively to the posuk before it. It's unlike the posuk before. And there's some psukim which are mashma memela, that it's a continuation, the same person who did the previous act is doing the next one. And now we're going to work through these psukim one by one and see which psukim are mashma memela, which means that the person doing it is the same as the previous pasuk, and which psukim are mashma moitzi miyad mashma, where the pasuk is teaching us that somebody different is doing it. So we're going to start with pasuk gimel. Unasatem oiso el elozor hakoyen, v'hoitzi oiso el michutz lamachne, v'shochat oiso lefonov. So we have three times the word oiso in this pasuk, and once the word lefonov before him, and the Gemara is going to speak about that. V'nosatem oiso le'elozor hakoyen, oiso le'elozor v'loy le'doyris le'elozor. And this is a very important statement here, that this whole parasha was actually said during when the Torah is speaking about the very first Pora Aduma that was made. In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they made the Pora Aduma, and it was Elozor at the time. It was Aaron who was the Kohen Gadol, Elozor was the deputy Kohen Gadol, the Skan Kohen Gadol, and that's the Elozor mentioned in this parasha. The question is, what about all the future Pora Adumas that are going to be done generations later? Who was going to be overseeing, or who was going to be doing those Avodos? So here it says in the Gemara that the need for this Avoda, v'nosatem oisa, that they would give the Pora Aduma, it would be given to Elozor, the Skan Kohen Gadol, the deputy Kohen Gadol. That was only at the first Pora Aduma that was necessary. However, v'loy le'doyrus le'Elozor, but in future doyrus, it was not necessary for the deputy Kohen Gadol to be involved. The question is, who was involved? Ikad Amra, some say le'doyrus, that in future generations by Kohen Gadol, it had to be done exclusively by the Kohen Gadol. V'ikad Amra, others say that le'doyrus b'Kohen Hedyot, in future generations, any regular Kohen could oversee the and do the Pora Aduma. The Gemara says, Bishle milamando Amra le'doyrus b'Kohen Hedyot. I can understand that it says here, v'nosatem oiso, this one, the first Pora Aduma, was done, El Elozor, was done by the deputy. Future generations, not. So who not? If not the deputy, then any Kohen. Why should we choose one Kohen over any other Kohen? Then Shapir, we can understand that. Elo lamando omar ledoiris b'Kohen Gadol, according to the opinion that says that the first Pora Aduma was done by the deputy Kohen Gadol. Future generations, it had to be the Kohen Gadol. Minole, what would be the source for that? Why would that be true? Says the Gemara, Gomar chuko, chuko miyema kipurim. There's a gzeru shova, it says chuko in the parash of Pora Aduma, it says chuko in the parash of Yom Kippur, and in the same way as the Yom Kippur Avoida had to be done exclusively by the Kohen Gadol, so too, besides for this first Pora Aduma where it says explicitly, v'nosatem oiso el elozor, that it was done by the deputy, in all future Pora Adumas was done by the Kohen Gadol. The next word oiso in this mishpasuk gimel, v'hoitzi oiso, that they took out after it was the Paraduma was given to Elazar, it was taken out of the city, El Michutz Lamachane, Vahoitzi Oisa, Shelo Yoitzi Acheres Imo. Make sure that when you're taking out the Paraduma, don't take out any other cow at the same time. Kudetnan, as we saw in a mission in Maseches Parah, which is an entire Masechta dedicated to the halachas of Paraduma, it says there, Loi Hoisa Parah Roitzelotzis, in the event that the cow, the red cow, did not want to go out on its own accord, and for other halachic reasons, you could not just tie a cord around its neck and pull it out, and you wanted to encourage it to go out, so an easy way would have been, bring another cow, and the other cow you'll pull out, or you'll get it to come out, and then the Paraduma will follow. So it says in the Mishnah, you shouldn't do that. Don't take another cow, a black cow, or for that matter, the Mefarshim say any other cow, it can be a white cow. Don't take another cow out with this one in order to encourage this one to go. Why? Because if you take out, together with the Paradumo, you take out a black cow, then people are going to start talking. In order that they shouldn't say that you shechted the black cow. Everybody knows Paraduma has to be a red cow. And even if you have another red cow, don't take that one out either. So people shouldn't say that you shechted two Paradumas at the same time. And the reservations against this we're going to see soon. That was the Tanakama. Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says, Lo min Hashem Uzeh. The reason that you should not take out another cow is not for the reasons of Shelo Yomru, that people shouldn't talk. Rather, it's a posuk. Elo Mishum Shenemer, it says in the posuk, Oisa, which is this posuk we're talking about here, V'hoitzi Oisa El Michutz Lamachane, that you should take this cow exclusively and to the exclusion of any other cow with it. Levada on its own. V'tanakama Oksiv Oisa. The Tanakama also know it says Oisa. So why are they saying that the reason you shouldn't take another cow is that people shouldn't say and people shouldn't talk? It's a pasuk. Why do you need to give your own reasons? Answers the Gemara, Man Tanakama Rab Shimon. He, the Tanakama, is the opinion of Rab Shimon. De Dorish Taima Dekro. We know that Rab Shimon was the opinion that was, he used to elaborate on the reasons behind the pasuk. When the pasuk said do or don't do something, it wasn't merely take it as fact, with no understanding. No, you should understand what the Pasuk is telling us. What the Pasuk of Oisa, Levado, is telling us, or the reason behind it is, that means the reason the Pasuk said, don't take another cow, is for the reasons mentioned above. My Benayu, what would be the halachic ramifications of having an Oisa, Levado, as Xeris HaKosov, with no reasoning behind it, and if there is a reason, Shelo Yoimru? The difference will be between the two opinions is if you want to take out a donkey, not even a cow. So according to the Tanakama, nobody's going to say that you're going to shecht a cow with it. Everybody knows that you don't. No one's going to think that you shecht a donkey. No one would dream of that. We don't shecht donkeys. And therefore, there would be little issue of taking a donkey out with the cow. However, according to Rebbe, that Rebbe says that the reason is Oisa, take it out, Levada, entirely on its own, don't understand why, then on its own is on its own, even to the exclusion of taking it out with a donkey. Continues the Gemara, what about the third Oisa in this Pasuk? V'shochat Oisa, you should shecht it. V'shochat Oisa, shelo yishchot acheres imo, you should not shecht a second cow whilst you're also working with the first cow. And Rashi on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis explains this a little bit based on a Mishnah in Maseches Parah and other calculations. We don't need to go into them now, but there's a halacha that you're not allowed to shecht another cow whilst you're engaged in this cow. And now the last word of the pasuk was shochat oisa lefonov, and we've already seen this before on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. What's this lefonov telling us? It should be done before him. It should be shechted before him. What does that mean? L'Rav shelo yasiach daito mimeno. According to Rav, who said that the shechita of the paraduma had to be done by the kohen, and not by a zor. So he learns from here that it was also to be masiach das, to distract oneself from the avodas that are being done. Whilst that's the lefonov. The lefonov is telling us don't get distracted from the paraduma when engaged in preparing it. L'Shmuel, Shmuel, not like Rav, but Shmuel learned from this pasuk that when it says v'shachat oisa, it was shechted lefonov, before him. That means, it means that him being Elazar, the Skan Kohen Gadol, he was the one that was overseeing it, and it seems from here that he was only watching, he wasn't actually doing the Shechita. Shmuel learned from here that a Zar could shecht. According to Rav, somebody who wasn't a Kohen was not allowed to shecht, and this Paraduma actually had to be shechted by the Skan Kohen Gadol, by Elazar himself, according to Rav. And according to Shmuel, the Zar, even somebody who's not a Kohen, can shechet, but Elazar and the Skan Kohen Gadol Roya had to be watching. And now we're moving to Pasuk Dalet. And now we're going to have to start with what we said, what Ulla said before. Is this Pasuk going to be telling us that somebody different is going to continue? Or is it the same person? V'lokach Elazar HaKohen. Midomo be'etzboi v'hizo. It says that Elazar HaKohen would take from the blood, he would receive the blood that was from the Shechted Paraduma, and he would sprinkle it towards the Beis HaMikdash. This whole procedure was done outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside Yerushalayim. But it was, the blood was taken by Elazar HaKohen. And here we have an issue. Who was doing the Shechita? V'shachat Oisa Lefonov. According to Rav, who was doing the Shechita? Elazar HaKohen, the Skan Kohen Gadol. According to Shmuel, who was doing the Shechita? Anybody, Azar. So if it says here, V'lokach Elazar HaKohen, that the who had to receive the blood, it had to be Elazar HaKohen. So according to Shmuel, it's clear that this pasuk is Moitzi Miyad. It's a change of the person from the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk could be done by Azar, the Shechita. Here with the Kabbalah Saddam was done by Elazar. According to Rav, however, that the Shechita had to be done by Elazar, by the deputy. And here it says, V'lokach HaKohen, V'lokach Elazar HaKohen, it would seem superfluous. According to you, Rav, the Shechita was already done by Elazar, so just say V'lokach Midomo, that he should take from the blood. He was there anyway. He was the one who was doing the Shechita. So Rav is going to address that, and Rav is going to say that as far as the Kabbalah Saddam, the V'lokach Elazar HaKohen, actually, even though Elazar HaKohen is mentioned, we're going to see soon how, but Rav holds any Kohen can do the Kabbalah Saddam. So even though according to Rav, Elazar is the one that had to do the Shechita, the Kabbalah Saddam could have been done by any Kohen. Which means that both according to Shmuel and Rav, this Pasuk is Moitzi Miyad, there's a different person doing it than the Shechita. Let's see this inside. V'lokach Elazar HaKohen midomo be'etzboi. L'Shmuel, according to Shmuel, this Pasuk is telling us, le'adure le'elazar, that unlike the Shechita that could be done by Azar, the Kabbalah had to be done by Elazar, by the Skan. And Rav, according to Rav, have a miut achar miut. According to Rav, the Shechita already had to be done exclusively by Elazar HaKohen. And here again it says, v'lokach Elazar HaKohen, exclusively by Elazar HaKohen. That's called a miut achar miut. When it says twice an exclusion, one after the other, ve'in miut achar miut, elul rabbis, the Pasuk is coming to teach us that it's including somebody else who's not mentioned. Who's that? Afilu Kohen Hedyot. According to Rav, the Shechita had to be done by the Skan Kohen, by Elazar HaKohen, and the Kabbalah Saddam could have been done by any Kohen. Continues the Gemara. We're moving now to Pasuk Vav. V'lokach HaKohen eitz erez ve'ezoiv v'shnitzoi lo'as, and they would bundle together the grass, the ezoiv, the plant, and the cedar wood, and the wool, the reddened wool, and they would throw it into the fire. Who would do this? HaKohen, the Kohen would do it. So let's see who's this Kohen. L'Shmuel da'afilu b'Kohen Hedyot. According to Shmuel, again, we're changing people. The Pasuk we discussed before, who would receive the blood? V'lokach Elazar HaKohen. According to Shmuel, it had to be only the Skan Kohen Gadol. The Shechita could be done by Azar, according to Shmuel. Kabbalah Saddam had to be done by the Skan Kohen Gadol. Over here, taking the bundle of the Eitz Erez, Ezev and Shnitzoi Lo'as, according to Shmuel, could be done by any Kohen. So it's called Moitzi Miyad. It's a new person, not necessarily the one from the previous Pasuk. L'Rav, according to Rav, however, he's not changing. From the Pasuk Dalet, we saw who receives the blood according to Rav. Any Kohen. The same applies here. V'lokach HaKohen, any Kohen. Why do you have to say it? If the receiving of the blood was already done by any Kohen, just say V'lokach Eitz Erez, and you should take the Eitz Erez ve'ezev yishnitzelas. Why do you have to mention the kohen if it's the same kohen? So Rav says, I'll tell you why. Because in this particular step of the preparation of the Parah Aduma, I may have thought anybody can do it. And therefore the Pasuk has to reiterate and say, no, it's not true, only a kohen can do it. Why would we have thought that anyone can do it? So the Rav Itzrach, I have to say, I may have thought, given the Lav Gufa de Poraninu, because here we were not busy with the actual Parah Aduma. We were busy with the Eitz Erez, the Ezev, and the Shnitoy Las that was going to be thrown into the fire. So I may have thought, Loili Boy a Kohen, maybe you don't need a Kohen. We saw similar logic to this on the top of Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. Komash Malon, that's what the Pasuk has to tell us, according to Rav, that Vlokach HaKohen. It's the same way as the Kabbalah's Hadam, according to Rav, had to be done by a Kohen, so too, Vlokach HaKohen, Eitz Erez, the Ezev, and Shnitoy Las had to be done by a Kohen. So according to Rav, this Pasuk is Mameila Mashma. It's not a new person, it's the same person that did the Kabbalah Saddam, is the one that took the Eitz Erez, Ezev, and Shnitoy Las. Continues the Gemara. We're now moving to Pasuk Zayin. V'chibes begodov HaKohen. It says in the Pasuk there that the Kohen would wash his clothes. And here the question is, why do you have to say that it's the Kohen? We know everybody agrees. Shmuel and Rav said that the Pasuk before Pasuk Vav, who's the one that's Velokach HaKohen Eitz Erez Ve'ezev Yishnitelaz? Everybody agrees at this point. It's any Kohen can do it. So just say V'chibes Begodov. Why do you have to say HaKohen? Says the Gemara, you're right, and we use this word for a drosha, b'ki hunoi, that he has to be wearing his big day kuhuna when preparing the Parah Aduma. And the next words in the Pasuk, v'tomei hakoyin ad orev, that this koyin is tomei till the night. Again, why do they have to say hakoyin? Everybody knows that from the previous Pasuk we're talking about any koyin. Koyin b'ki hunoi l'dairus. That is in order to impress on us that this kohen that you mentioned earlier, v'chibes ha-begodov ha-kohen, that you have to wear big day kohuna, it's not only in this parasha of the first Parah Aduma, but even in the later Parah Adumas, the kohen engaged in the Parah Aduma has to be wearing the big day kohuna. So the Gemara says, Honi chalaman do'oma l'deiros, we saw before, when we were learning Pasuk, Gimel, it says when osatem oiso el Elazar, it says oiso v'loy ledoiros le Elazar, that Elazar, the Sgan Kohen Gadol, is the one that was engaged with preparing the first Parah Aduma, or at least parts of it, as we've seen, but future generations not. And we saw Machlekes there. Some said that in future generations, future Parah Adumas, it was done by any Kohen, and other opinions hold it was done exclusively by the Kohen Gadol, as you learn Chukah. So the Gemara is discussing that. So here again, you have Deiros mentioned here, that even in future generations, the Kohen who's preparing the Parah Aduma has to be wearing his big day kahuna. So Honi Chalamando Omal Deiros B'Kohen Head, yet according to the opinion that says any Kohen could prepare the Parah Aduma Shapir, then I can understand that the Pasuk has to tell us that this Kohen, whoever's doing it, has to wear the big day kohuna. Elo lemando omal adairus b'kohen gadol. But if you say that the future Parah Adumas was prepared by a kohen gadol, hashta kohen gadol ba'inon b'kihuna imiboya, I don't need a posuk to tell us that the kohen gadol has to wear his big day kohuna. We have a kal v'chomer. If the Torah is already makbid that the kohen gadol has to do some of the at least some of the avoida of the Parah Aduma, as we saw in Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, then of course you need Big Day Kohuna. I don't need the Pasuk to tell us, especially the word HaKohen, that you should need the Big Day Kohuna. It's a Kal V'Chomer. Answers the Gemara in, you're right. You could have learned from a Kal V'Chomer that if you need the Kohen Gadol, of course you need the Big Day Kohuna. However, Milsad as you be Kal V'Chomer, Torach V'Kosav Lokro. One of the rules in Shas, we find that even something that could have been learnt out from a Kal V'Chomer, nonetheless, the Torah goes out of its way to, so to speak, and writes it. Continues the Gemara. V'osaf ish tohir. We're moving now to the Pasuk test, to the next Pasuk. It says that an ish tohir, we have to see who this ish is, who this person is. But V'osaf, it doesn't just say V'osaf eis efer aporo, you should collect the ashes. It says v'osaf ish tohir, a pure person, somebody who's not tomei, as efer aporo. The question is, who's this ish? V'hiniach Michutz l'machane. That's what it says in the pasuk, that they would take some of the ashes of the paraduma and they would place it and leave it outside the machane. Rashi on the pasuk explains exactly what happened there. They would split up the paraduma, the ashes, into three. We don't need to go into that now. But there was v'osaf ish toyer, that there was somebody, an ish toyer, had to collect up after the ashes, after the paraduma was burnt, the ashes were collected up. Who's this ish? Ish lehachshir es hazor. This ish, and this is a moitzi miyad. It's a different individual than the pasuk before the pasuk zayin, because in the pasuk zayin, or the pasuk vav, pasuk zayin, is talking about that any kohen could do the. We're talking there about v'lokach ha'kohen eitz erev eizev ishnitoy las. It's talking about any kohen. Here it says who was doing the collecting. Not only a kohen could do it, but even a zor can do it. The word ish we learn lehachsher es hazor, tohir lehachsher es ha'isha. And it says that not only an ish, but also tohir, anyone who's tohir, including an isha, can also collect the ashes. V'hinyach, when it says v'hinyach michutz lamachne, who would do that? Mi sheyesh bo das lehaniach. Only somebody who's got das, who's got a certain level of understanding, who can determine between a toyer place and a not toyer place, because it says that in the pasuk v'hinyach al michutz lamachne, and the pasuk there adds on b'mokim toyer. You have to know that the place that you're putting it is a toyer place, not a toyer place. So you need das for that. So that excludes the otsu cheresh shoita v'katan, somebody who's either a cheresh or a shoita or a katan, somebody who hasn't got any intelligence, either because of his age or his mental capacities, or somebody who cannot speak or hear. She'ein b'hen das, they do not have that level of understanding, laniach, to place it in a mokim toher, they cannot do it. So that's what we learned from this posuk test. That means it's from the fact that a zor can do it, the fact that a woman can do it, it's already called moitzi miyad, and unlike the pasuk before. Tanan hasam, now the Gemara is continuing with the next pasuk, and this is now the pasuk that's going to be discussing mixing the water with the ashes. And it says in the pasuk, this is a pasuk Yud Zayin, v'lokhu latomei me'afaras reifas achatos, they would take from the ashes of the burnt paraduma, v'nosan olov mayim chayim el keli, and they would mix it in a kli, in a utensil, with water. So let's see what the Gemara is going to learn, what the Mishnah is going to learn from it. So there's a Mishnah in Maseches Paro, hakol ksheirim lekadish, the Tanakama hold, anyone is kosher to mix the water with the ashes. Besides, chutz mecheresh shoyta v'katan, somebody who's mute, deaf mute, that's a cheresh or shoyta, somebody who's got no intelligence, or a katan or a minor, that according to the Tanakhama, they cannot. But besides for cheresh shoyta v'katan, anybody else is allowed to mix the water with the ashes. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says no, even a katan. We'll soon see where he learns it from, but he says the cotton is allowed to mix the water with the ashes. And Tosis discusses why Rabbi Yehuda includes the cotton and not the shoita and the cheresh, but that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. U'poisel b'isha. And unlike the Tanakama who say, hakul ksheirim, that anybody, including a woman, can do the mixing of the water with the ashes, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, a woman cannot. U'ba'adreganus, and adreganus is a person who have a sophic whether the organs are those of a male or a female, and therefore we're not sure that he's not a woman, and therefore he also cannot, this andragonus cannot mix the water with the ashes. My Talmud Rabbonon, what would be the source of the Rabbonon who say that anybody is allowed to mix the water unless it's a chereshet of a cotton? Tachsiv, it says in the posuk, v'lokhu latomei me'afaras reit ha'fasachatos, this is the posuk Yud Zayin we're learning from, and the Chachomim say that this is a continuation from what we saw before, the posuk we learned before, which happened to be posuk Tes. We saw there it says, v'osaf ish toyer es eifer ha'pora, that the ashes were collected by an ish toyer, v'niach michutz lamachne, and there we saw that a zor is allowed to collect the ashes. We saw that a woman is allowed to collect the ashes, and we saw that a chereshet of a cotton is excluded. So the Rabbanon say the same applies here. V'lokhu, those that were kosher to do the v'osaf ish toyer, are kosher to do the the kiddush, the mixing of the water with the ashes. Hanoch to pasul lucha ba'asifa. Those that apostle to do the collecting of the ashes, namely the chereshet of the cotton, pasul lucha b'kiddush would also be pasul to mix the ashes with the water. V'hanoch to achshir lucha ba'asifa. Those that we said were kosher, as we learned from Ish, even a zar, tohir, even a woman, achshir lucha b'kiddush. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rav Yehuda says that there's more people are allowed to do the velokhu latomei me'afar seifas achatos, are allowed to mix the ashes with the water, even more than those that could do the collecting of the ashes. Why? Because imkein le'mikra velokach. In the same way as by the collecting of the ashes, it says v'osaf ish tohir in a singular term, why doesn't it say velokach? That he can take in singular, why does it say velokhu? Velokhu seems to say that even more people can do the mixing of the ashes with the water then could do the collecting, which means that even a cotton, as we said, Tosfos discusses why Rabbi Yehuda singles out a cotton, but even a cotton who could not do the v'osav ish toir, as we learned from there, v'iniach, excludes the chereshet of a cotton. However, the mixing of the water with the ashes he can do. My v'lochu, dafilu cotton, the pasul l'chahosam, even a cotton that's possible to do the collecting, hocha kosher, over here it's kosher. Okay, so we understand you have to include the cotton. Why do you have to exclude the isha, the woman? Isha minole says yes, because in this pasuk Yud Zayin, what does it say a few words at the end of the pasuk? It says v'nosan ol of mayim chaim el keli, that the one that is going to actually pour or mix the water with the ashes is v'nosan. V'nosan is a male term, v'lo v'nosno, not v'nosno, that excludes a female, excludes a woman. The Rabbonon say, we're still sticking with ours. We're saying that whoever could do the Va'osaf Ish Toyer can do the V'lochu, which includes a woman and excludes a cotton. You're going to ask me a question, why does it say V'lochu and not V'lochach? Yikos of Rachmano V'lochach, if it would say V'lochach to conform with the Pasuk Tess, we're going to have an issue with a possible misunderstanding with the V'nosan at the end of this Pasuk Yud Zayin. Yikos of Rachmano V'lochach V'nosan, havam in the I may have thought, because this Pasuk Yud Zayin is split into two sections. V'lochu latomei me'afar asrifas achatos, one takes from the ashes, V'nosan all of Maim Chaim El Keli, and one mixes the ashes with the water. I may have thought that those two parts, the taking and the mixing, have to be done by exactly the same person. Ikos of Rachmon, if it would have said v'lokach v'nosan, havamina, I may have thought, ad the shokil chad v'yoiv chad, until the same person that takes the ashes is the one that mixes it. Kos of Rachmon, that's why it says v'lokhu, that the taking is in plural, and the v'nosan is singular, to say that it's not necessarily that the same person who does the lekicha has to do the nesina. So why doesn't it say then v'lokhu v'nosnu? Because of Rachmona v'lokhu v'nosnu, hava amina, I may have misunderstood, ad the shokri tre v'yoi v'tre, that two have to take the ashes and two have to mix the ashes. And therefore, because of Rachmona v'lokhu v'nosan, that's why the Pasuk had to say it in the way it does, v'lokhu, and then v'nosan, dafilu shokri tre v'yoi v'chad, it's even okay if two people take the ashes and one mixes the ashes with the water, it's okay. And since the Pasuk had to write it that way, you cannot deduce from the word velokhu that it's adding on a person that can do the velokhu that could not do the v'osaf ish toir, and therefore the Chachomim say that only those that can do the v'osaf ish toir can do the velokhu and the kiddush, which is the mixing of the waters with the ashes. Continues the Gemara, now we're moving on to Pasuk Yudches. V'lokach eizoiv v'toval b'mayim ish tohir v'hiza. We're now talking about actually sprinkling once the whole paraduma with the water has been prepared. Now we're going to sprinkle onto the tomei person, onto the tomei kelim, whoever needs to be purified from tumas meis. V'lokach eizoiv v'toval b'mayim ish tohir. Who's this ish tohir? So l'rabbonon, it's ish v'lo isha, because everybody agrees that this word ish toir is superfluous. It should just say v'lokach eizei v'toval b'mayim v'hiza. Ish toir is clearly coming to tell us somebody can do something that he could not do before. That which means moitzi miyad. It means whoever could do the pasuk before, this is somebody else. So what would that be? So the Rabbonon, according to Rabbonon, who said in the previous Pasuk, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, that V'lochu Latomei, etc., that said that in the previous Pasuk, that a woman is allowed to do the mixing of the water and the ashes, over here the Rabbanon are going to say no. Ish tohir, only an ish, v'lo isha. Tohir, and tohir is coming to say, l'hachshir es ha-katan, because the Chachomim said that the katan cannot mix the water with the ashes. Here they'll say, ish tohir, to tell us that a katan can sprinkle the water onto the tummy person. Ul Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda also has to agree here that the ish tohir is superfluous, and therefore it must be telling us that somebody can do this who couldn't do the previous stage. The previous step was mixing the ashes with the water. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a katan can do it and a woman cannot do it. So for here, when it comes to sprinkling, he's going to have to say the reverse. Ish v'loi katan. The ish is coming to say that a minor cannot sprinkle the water, the ashes, onto the person, onto the tohir people. And tohir, l'hachshir es ha'isha. And from the word tohir, we learn that even a woman is allowed to sprinkle the water onto the tohir person. Continues the Gemara. Meisvei, the Gemara is now asking a contradiction or a question from another Mishnah in Maseches Parah. Hakol ksheirim l'hazois. It says in the Mishnah, anybody can sprinkle onto the tohir person, chutz mitumtum v'adreganus v'isha. Besides for a tumtum, which we don't know if he's a zachor and a keva, or an andreganus who seems to display signs of both zachor and a keva, the isha or a woman, the cotton, it says here sheyesh, but in the Mishnah the Gira says she'ein boidas, or a cotton who's not yet got enough intelligence or enough das. Then if he's such a cotton, isha maseatoi, then a woman is allowed to help him, and Tosfos discusses exactly what she's allowed to do, because she's not allowed to sprinkle, as we just said now, and Isha is not allowed to, but nonetheless she can help the cotton on up until a certain level, umaze, and then this cotton can sprinkle. But you see here clearly that a woman cannot sprinkle, and a cotton can sprinkle. Now whose opinion is that? That's clearly the opinion of the Rabbanon that we saw just before. The Rabbanon say that from Ish we learn an Ish v'loi Isha, and they learn from Tohir afilu katan. So this Mishnah is clearly following the Tanakhama. So that's okay. The problem is, where is the Rabbi Yehuda? Why don't we say that Rabbi Yehuda says the opposite? Rabbi Yehuda says that a katan is not allowed to sprinkle, and a woman is allowed to sprinkle. V'loi palig Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing. Why not? Omar Abaya. Abaya said Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have to explicitly argue in the Mishnah. Kiven de Omar Mar, since Ulla said, right at the beginning of the sugya we started today, where Ulla said, Mashma moitzi miyad mashma, umashma memela, that parts of the psukim are telling us that the person who can do this pasuk is not the person who could do the previous pasuk, and part of the psukim are telling us, or are teaching us, that whoever could do the previous pasuk can do this pasuk. Once Ulla told us that that's how you're supposed to be learning these psukim, then of course, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who learnt in the pasuk of v'lochu latomi regarding mixing the water with the ashes, that Rabbi Yehuda said that a cotton could, because it says v'lochu, and a woman can't, because it says v'nosan v'loi v'nosno, then it must be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the ish tohir is excluding a cotton and including a woman. So that's enough. We don't need to say it in this Mishnah. We already know that it must be that Rabbi Yehuda is going to be arguing with the Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. V'hizo, this is Pasuk Yud Tes, the last Pasuk we're going to be learning about here. V'hizo ha-tohir al-hatomi. From the fact that it says that a tohir person can sprinkle the water onto the person who's tomi meis. If it says the word ha-tohir, what does it mean tohir? Tohir michlal shu toma. It means that this person was just toma and he's just become tohir, and he can sprinkle the waters of the paraduma onto those that need it. What does that mean? Limed al tvul yom. It means somebody who's just toma, he went into the mikvah, and immediately he can sprinkle from the waters of the paraduma onto the toma people. So you see, even a tvul yom is kosher bepara, and there's many halachic ramifications to this. And as we've seen previously, that, and we're going to see later, Masechah Sukkah and others, that because there was this leniency, so to speak, that even a Tvul Yoim, which is considered Tumah on a certain level, he's Tohir, but just Tohir, there's still a little bit of Tumah left on him, then because of that, there were many stringencies that were placed on the halachas of Parah Adumah, just to counterbalance that people shouldn't be neglectful with the Tara of the Parah Adumah. We learned about it at the beginning of the Masechta. Continues the Gemara. Oma Rabbi Asi, ki havu ba Rabbi Yechanan v'Rish Lakish b'Parah. When Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish were delving into the parasha of Parah Aduma that we've just learnt about, they were actually looking to see whether there was anything uniform, whether there was a single type of kohen could do everything that was supposed to be done, the whole preparation of the Parah Aduma. They thought that we'll learn the parashas and we'll decide whether it's any kohen, a skan kohen, a kohen gadol, it'll be uniform. However, they didn't come up with any ability to do that. They only came up with Elo Kemaida Masik Talo Mi Bei Karbo. It's like when a fox is running in a ploughed field, then all that comes up is a little bit of dust. They tried to make this parasha uniform and they couldn't. It was clear, Elo Omri, they came up with the same conclusion that we started with in the name of Ula, that Mashma Moitzi Miyad Mashma Umashma Mameila. Some of the psukim are telling us that this posuk is done by somebody that could not do the previous posuk, and some psukim are telling us that the person who could do the previous posuk can do the next posuk as well, as we saw. Continues the Gemara. Toni Tana Kameidu Rabbi Yechanan, the one that was reading out the brises before Rabbi Yechanan, said the following: Kol hashchitos ksheiros bazar, all shchitos in the Torah can be done even by somebody who's not a kohen. Chutz mishel pora, besides for the pora aduma that had to be shechted by a kohen. Omar le Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said to this person that said this brisa, Puk Tony Lebra, go and say this brisa outside the Beis HaMedrash. We don't agree with this brisa. Loi motzino shchita bazar psula. There's no such thing as shchita that cannot be done by a zar. We actually saw that it was a machlek as Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yechanan takes on, like Shmuel, that a zar can shecht from the Parah Aduma. Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan, loi mi boya letana de loi tzayis. Not only did Rabbi Yechanan reject this Tanna that was being quoted that says that kol hashchitos ksheiros bazar chutz mishel pora, but even more than that, ela filo l'rabbi leitzayis, even his own Rebbe, Rabbi Yechanan argued with, da'omer Rabbi Yechanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yitzadok. Rabbi Yechanan said that in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon ben Yitzadok, that shchitas pora bazar psula. That his own Rebbe said that, like Rav said, that the shchita of the Parah Aduma cannot be done by a zar, by someone who's not a kohen. V'adni Omer, says Rabbi Yechanan, k'sheira. V'loi matzano shchita shepsula bazar. Which means that Rabbi Yechanan holds, even, and this is not like Shmuel, because Shmuel says that the shchita of a Parah Aduma can be done by a zar, but he says that the shchita of the bull of belonging to the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur has to be shechted by the kohen gadol. Rabbi Yechanan says even they're not. He says there's no such thing as shchita that has to be done by a kohen, and not only the Parah Aduma, even the bull of the kohen gadol can be shechted by a zar. Continues the Gemara, and this takes us back to the Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol is then going back after doing the lots on the goats. He goes back to where his bull was standing, and he does vidui again. The first time he did vidui, he confessed on behalf of himself and his family, and in this Mishnah that we saw, he confessed on behalf of all the Kohanim. Asks the Gemara, Maishna bevidui rishon deloy omar ubnei arinam kedeshecha. Why, with the first time he confessed, he didn't mention all of the kohanim, from the holy people? Umaishna bevidui sheni, but in the second confession here, the omar, he did say ubnei arinam kedeshecha. Answers the Gemara, Tana deberi b'shmoel kachim midas hadin. Logic dictates that midas hadin noisenes. Logic dictates that mutav Yei Zakai, rather he should first be innocent himself, v'yechapir alachayev, and then he will achieve atonement for those who are not as innocent yet, which means first confess for yourself and your family, but first confess for yourself. Once you've confessed, you've reached some level of kapara, of atonement, and now and then you can confess on behalf of all the kohanim. But before you've confessed on your own sins, you're not yet ready to confess for the sins of all the other people, all the other kohanim. And the Mefarshim discuss why he had to mention himself and his family again the second time, but the reason that he did not mention the other kohen the first time was because the other kohanim, so to speak, were chayev before the confession, like he was. First he wanted to achieve atonement himself, and then he could ask for atonement for the other kohanim. And Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next year, we're going to start the next Mishnah.